calling the disciples of the church.
Amen. Good to see you all. Amen. If you turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 6.
Book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city. What was going on is Paul and Silas were preaching, and they upset the apple cart.
Yes, right.
Just like that word that was up there, everything's all right until it changes your way of thinking.
Right. Yes.
And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also."
Yes.
Amen. "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." I would say that they're having an effect on a lot of places if they think they're turning the world upside down.
Right.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to preach a message: routine or revolutionary?
All right.
Brother, you want to pray?
Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God, for your word.
Thank you, Lord.
God, for men who have turned this world upside down. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would anoint Brother Skinner, Lord, to preach to us. God, encourage us to go out and go forth, and God, be a world changer. In Jesus' name.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Amen. Routine or revolutionary? The definition of routine is a fixed program.
Right. Yes.
A lot of people don't like the word program. They program the Lord right out of the service.
Right.
Amen. A fixed program, a regular course. Actions you do repeatedly. Even part of it is mundane.
All right.
Doesn't sound like a great word, does it?
Right.
Lacking excitement.
Yes.
Dull. Humdrum.
Yes.
Amen. Not something that I want. Sometimes people become contented in this state. And these folks right here, they said they were contented in the way they had it, and they didn't want nobody to shake the ship.
Right.
Amen. They said, "Who is that troubling the waters?" Right. And when they knew who it was, they said, "These are those that are here who are turning the world
upside down.
Right. They're interrupting my routine."
Yes.
Amen. I remember when I was younger, way younger, in my 20s, we decided to turn the world upside down. Brother Dan, we went to Fort Collins, Colorado. We made up these real primitive looking, tracks. And we had taken them and put them on a piece of paper, got some letters, and then made a copy of it on a copy machine, made a few of them, and went downtown and started to hand them out. They probably weren't the wisest tracks in the world. Talked about the Trinity and the oneness, and they were a little rough. And the people came after us, so to speak. The woman that was headed down a town association told us, "You can't do that." We said, it's a public sidewalk. We thought, we're turning the world upside down.
Right.
Well, we probably made some people mad. It's probably all we did. But that's what we did. And people would, it was Christmas time, and they were lighting a Christmas tree in the middle of the town square. And we went there, and we're going to hand out these flyers. And we saw that. We said, probably not a good idea. So we waited for them when they got done. And when they were walking around, we were handing them out to them. And people were getting mad. They were crumpling them up and throwing them down. One guy, I said, "Can I give you one of these in Jesus' name?" He goes, "You sure can." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." And just move on down the road. I don't know if we turned the world upside down, but we felt like we were.
Right.
We made some people mad. I'm not liking to make people mad, but whatever. There was a man at the phosphate mines around here somewhere, Mosaic. And as far as I understand, if you got a job there, you got a good job, Brother Dexter.
Yeah. Right.
They got all the benefits. They got everything. Amen. They got 401ks. I'm guessing they got, you know, short-term disability, long-term disability, every kind of disability you can have. And they got, medical insurance, and they got retirement, the whole thing. I don't remember the man's name, but could you imagine the routine going to that place? You get up at a certain time. We all get up at a certain time. I got to get up at 7 because the dog needs to go out. But he got up every day a certain time, went off to work, punched the clock. I don't know if they punch it. About 30 years ago, I'm sure they punched the clock. Punch the clock, go to work. A little later on, time to eat lunch. Same old, same old, same old routine. He had 30 years in to his job. What a great accomplishment. His life was set for retirement. But something interfered to his routine.
Yes.
They told him he had cancer.
Yes.
So Brother Jackson from over the Mulberry Church asked me to go with him. We went over there because he worked with him to pray for the man. We sat there with his wife, and his little dog jumped up right next to me, and we started talking and praying, and he was telling us about how that he's got short-term disability now, and then if he waits a little longer, he can get the long-term, and then he can get his vacation, and then he can retire, and it'll work out. Well, he died before all that happened. So I wonder sometimes if something like that, I wonder that myself. Wonder now, looking back, was that routine worth it?
All right. Come on.
Maybe I would have spent a little more time with my children.
Yes.
Right.
Most of my life, you can ask my wife, most of my life, don't play a violin for me. Most of my life, I worked a full-time job. Then I would get off about 4 days a week and go and make pizzas at Domino's Pizza or deliver pizzas, whatever they needed me to do. But I look back now, I had to make a living. But you know, you look back and say, I sure wish I spent more time. With my family.
Yes.
I can't go back and change it. Neither could this man.
Right.
And he passed away. But I wonder if he wondered if he could have done some things differently. Routine, but a revolutionary is somebody that challenges the status quo.
Yes.
Challenges the status quo. And sometimes, if you look in the world about revolutions, there's violence involved. You know, the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm telling you, this living for God is not all peaches and cream all the time.
Right.
You know that, and I know that. I don't care what they preach about what saved, always saved, all those things. Amen. It's still sometimes difficult to live for God because we make the devil mad and we shake the ship and he don't like it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil exercises what we call tyranny. You know what tyranny is? Cruel and oppression.
Yeah.
Oppressive control.
Yes.
The devil exercises tyranny against our brothers and our sisters and us and the people in the house of God. Amen. Along with the revolutionary comes a patriot. Patriot says, when he sees this oppression, this tyranny, a patriot says, I'm going to fight to change something.
Yeah.
I'm going to take up arms, amen, and defeat the enemy. I'm going to help them. Just like we look at our brothers and sisters, we should be looking and saying, you know what? I don't like the idea that they're going through this or that. I feel like I want to do something to help them. Can you lift your hands?
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Sometimes they take up arms. And how do we take up arms? In prayer.
Yeah.
Intercessory prayer.
Right.
We pray feeling for their needs, feeling for them. Amen. Not just a prayer that just says, oh God, help them, but we can feel it. And if we're a patriot, we'll feel their pain and we'll pray it.
Right.
with Him.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. David said when he was coming to see his brothers and he was going to take on the giant, and they said, you're just proud. Won't you just be quiet?
Yes, yes.
And he said, is there not a cause?
Right.
Is there not a cause?
Is there not a cause? In the American Revolution, there were people that were tired of tyranny, tired of Great Britain, taxing them without representation and all the other things. But on the along in America, there was also loyalists.
Yeah. Right.
And the loyalists said, hey, don't mess with the routine, will you?
Right.
I know they're doing this, but if you just get along, it'll be all right.
Right. Yeah.
Just relax. But they wouldn't relax. The Patriots said, we're going to do something about this. Amen. So the Patriots said, we will fight. And Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. That's an attitude. I'm going somewhere with this. Give me liberty or give me death. And I read somewhere, I may be mistaken, that what he was really talking about, in addition, amen, to our country, was he saw the Baptist minister get beat because he preached the gospel. He wasn't part of the Church of England.
Right.
Give me liberty. Or give me death. That's an attitude.
Right.
That's an attitude that is not routine.
Right.
It's easy to be routine. Long as nobody's bothering you, everything's going good, and the payday's coming. A guy told me the other day, Ray, he keeps reading all this stuff about, you know, the end of the world coming, or this guy that's ahead of BlackRock, whoever he is, got trillions and trillions of dollars, and he's the Antichrist and all this. Well, I don't know if he is or isn't. Probably not. But he tells me all. I told him, well, I don't care if he does it. Just hold on to the third when I get my Social Security. Then I'll be all right. At least for another month. Amen. You say, well, he might be. Well, he might be. There's nothing to do about it.
That's right.
But he'd fight. The Patriots would fight. But the loyalists, they didn't want anybody messing the status quo up.
Yeah.
They lived a mundane life. Amen. Sometimes we want God to move.
Yes.
We do want God to move. But you know what we got to do? We got to move God.
Yes, that's right.
God's willing. He says, you have not because you ask not.
Yes.
And so you ask amiss. He said, you got to press in. You ask me. You show me you mean business. And that's how the British were. They weren't going to quit. We had to push them out.
Yes. Right.
Jesus was a revolutionary.
Yes.
Nobody can deny that. He changed the whole deal, the whole order. He made them all happy, didn't he? No. He made half of them happy, and the other half didn't really like him much enough that they hung him on a cross.
Right.
He upset the status quo. He was anything but routine.
Yes.
The Pharisees offered tyranny, but Jesus offered liberty. Pharisees had pride and stature. Jesus offered humility.
Yes.
Pharisees imprisoned people both spiritually and physically. Jesus was a chain breaker.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Jesus, amen, hallelujah, was nothing routine. He was all revolutionary.
Right.
Rank and file, those who want more, say this: Jesus, use me.
Yeah, right.
Can you say that? Jesus,
use
me. Amen. I know I mention it all the time. I'm sorry. My daughter used to say, all you talk about is George Patton, and I'm not even talking about him much. He's quite the character. But there is people in the church that we occupy the church, and there's always somebody, amen, that stands out in the church. It might be me for my looks.
Right.
That's a joke. Probably not. But there's always somebody that you know, amen, that seems like they're a little more patriotic, if you like, if I could say. Amen. In the army, there's the regular army. Regular army is mechanized. They run in tanks and trucks and maintenance, and there's somebody that works in the admin, and they type out stuff and work in the office and all those things, and you had guys like me that work in the jail, just regular army. But then there's some of them that want to do a little more.
Right.
They got to volunteer for it. them is the airborne rangers.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. We used to have to, when I was in basic training, we used to have to sing that song. It was January 1975, and we'd have to run, and they'd make us yell. If you didn't yell, everybody got punished, so you yelled, and you sang whether you could sing or not.
Yes.
Just like I do now. Anyway, you run and they say, I want to be an airborne ranger. I want to live a life of danger. I want to go to Vietnam. I want to kill old Charlie Kong. And they were trying to encourage you.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on, don't you want to be a ranger?
Right.
You want to jump out of airplanes?
Yes.
No.
No. No, sorry.
I want to be something special, but I didn't want to be that special. Then there's, I was listening to a guy, he was a sergeant major in the Marine Corps. 35 years, Brother Dexter. Boy, he didn't, he looked like this. He didn't look like me, he looked like this. Different. Marines, they're special. They're a little different.
Right.
They went to Fallujah. And they went in there and took it house by house over in the Pacific during World War II. They landed from island to island to island. And they got slaughtered. They slaughtered them. And they went. They were the first ones to go. And then when they were all done, they put their army in to occupy.
Right.
That's right. Well, I'm sorry. So, but there's one a little more than a Marine.
Right.
It's called Force Recon.
Yes.
Marine ain't good enough. There's a Force Recon. These guys go behind enemy lines and they do awful things and they view things and they see things and they come back and report. Matter of fact, they're probably nuts to be doing it. But I listened to this guy, just a regular Marines, and you know what he said? We run to the gunfire. We run to the sound of the guns. My point is that we can be those folks if we want to be.
Right.
But I don't know that we want to be.
Right.
I don't know. I want to be, but I don't know if I want to pay that price.
That's right. That's right.
Their logo is Semper Fi. Semper Fidelis means always faithful.
Always faithful.
They used to say a few good men, but I like to say in the church, a few good men and women.
Right.
Amen. This kind of attitude is amazing. The Navy SEALs, they went after Bin Laden. They went in two helicopters into Pakistan, I believe. And a man named O'Neill had written a book that he was the one that took him out. And they did not think, Brother Nathaniel, that they were going to make it out. They thought they was going to die.
Yes.
And they accepted that. Wow! They thought for sure somebody'd have a vest on to blow them all up.
Right.
So they went in there and they probably were amazed every 5 minutes that they weren't killed.
Right.
Well, the last time they went up to the upstairs and they pushed the door open and the one guy runs in and he sees a couple of women there. He thought they might have an exploding vest and he dove on them to absorb the blast. Which never happened.
Right.
That opened the door for the man to complete, amen, the mission. And he walked in and he took Bin Laden out. I'm not advocating killing people, but anyways. So, there are people that are a little bit more, want a little more adventure, Brother Nick. They're wanting a little more something in their life.
Right.
And I'll hurry on. Amen. Paul was one of these men.
Right.
My God, I read last time I was up for what Paul went through. Brother Hunt. Yeah. Shipwrecked 16 times. I know it wasn't, but you know, and beaten and run through the meat grinder and all these other things.
Right.
I just added a couple. But you know, he had a rough time, but you know what? Then they hugged his neck because he was headed to somewhere. And the guy said, anybody that's gone there is going to die. He says, why make you me, and I'm paraphrasing, cry? I'm not only willing to go there, I'm willing to die.
Right.
Yes. If that ain't an airborne ranger, I don't know what is.
Right.
Can you clap your hands?
Yes. Thank you.
Certainly isn't routine. Peter, he was the same way. They took him and they threatened to kill him, put him in the prison. One time they put him in the inner prison.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that just means solitary confinement, I guess.
Yeah.
And had him chained between, or laying between two soldiers. They just wanted to make sure he didn't get out. And you know what? He was scared the whole time. No, he was sleeping.
Right.
And the angel had to come. This special man.
Yes.
The angel had to go, hey, get your shoes on. We're getting out of here. I haven't had my beauty sleep yet. Well, you need to sleep a long time. Let's get out of here.
Yes.
So he was in a daze or in a trance, he thought.
Yes.
And he's walking out of there. He goes through one door. He goes through another. And then he comes to the outside. And he goes, he realized that he's really out.
Looks real.
Right. In jail.
Right.
But he wasn't worried about anything. At one time they threatened him not to speak. And he said, I ought to obey God.
Right.
Than man.
Right.
Amen. These are special men. Stephen was a special man.
Yes.
Right.
Stephen was there and Paul, I'm sure it affected Paul. He had to hear something as he was holding the man's clothes, the other men's clothes, so they could throw stones at him. And there's Stephen there, and he's being stoned, and he looks, his face is like an angel.
Right, right.
Boy, what a special man. And I just like to believe he smiled at Paul and said, leave this not to them.
Right.
Paul remembered that, I bet you. Special men, the Hebrew children, we know the story where the king said, I'm sure you made a mistake here.
Right.
And I know if we play the music again, you're going to bow down. Because if you don't, we're going to burn you in that furnace.
Right.
And they said, we're not even going to think about, whoo, talking right. to the most powerful man that had supposed authority over life and death.
Right.
They said, we're not bowing down. Our God's able, but if not, we're not bowing down. My God, there's something special about them men, don't you believe?
Right.
There's something different about that.
Right.
Different than everybody else is bowed down when you see these three guys standing up in the crowd. We're hard to find.
Right.
Amen. So these men were really the special forces in the spiritual realm. Amen. But if you want to be a patriot, if you want to barely be prepared to pay the price.
Right.
Be prepared.
Be prepared.
But you know what? These men counted as excitement.
Yes. Right.
These men said things like, wow, I get to suffer just like my Lord did. There's something, I mean, they're wired different than a lot of us.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Patriots are anything but routine. But it's bigger than just routine and patriots, revolutionaries. Because we only see with our eyes, but you know there's things going on in the spiritual realm
right.
to tell you how exciting this is. You know, we read about these exploits these men do, but you know what, if you were really there,
right.
and here's what I'm telling you, we can be really there today.
Right.
Amen. Listen to this. This is, put on your seatbelts if you listen to this. Amen. 2 Kings 6:17, you don't have to turn there. I'll turn there if I can find it real quick. I put a paper there. There it is. I got it. Stay. 6:15. It says this. Now, imagine this. Imagine beside our little routine life, imagine this. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Here's how it really went. He woke up, looked out, saw these armies. Ah! What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elisha just kind of was calm
right.
because he knew. And he answered, fear not.
Fear not.
Easy for you to say, but he said, fear not. They that be with us are more than they, are more than they that be with them.
Yes.
Elisha. We don't have glasses yet, this time. Of the world's time, but Are you blind? Can you see all them people down there? And they're coming after us. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots, of fire round about Elisha. I'm telling you that God can give us eyes. And I'm telling you, something bigger than just our lives in the church.
Yes, yes.
If you want to be one of these people, you're going to see things. Amen. If you ask God, I believe He's got a lot of job openings for this. If you want to be this, your life will no longer be mundane,
right,
but it will be exciting.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
There was a man as Jesus landed on the seashore, and there was a man that met him there. This man had been running up in the mountains with no clothes on, cutting himself, hating himself, and they chained him, and he kept breaking his chains. He ran around in the cemetery, and he came. This is what's going on, I'm telling you, in the spiritual realm that we don't see, and it's fighting against us.
Yes.
And God is calling soldiers of the Lord to fight back. So if we're just wanting to be myself, just wanting to have a routine. So Jesus said, what's your name? And he wasn't talking to the guy, because we never did learn his name. And he said, Legion, for we are many. And he cast them out, and they went into pits and ran into the water and drowned.
Yes.
Do you imagine seeing this? Can you imagine the apostles' eyes? They were bigger than Sammy's eyes.
Yes.
Imagine seeing that. Amen. Ephesians 6:12 says, I'm going to go there. I'd like to. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is a real realm going on around us that we can't see. We see what happens from it, but we don't see it. And against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't know, you might not think this way, but I think the devil is organized. I think that he's, amen, the prince of this world, that he is the God of this world. He's got a government, he's got organization, amen, in high places. Amen. The Bible talks about Daniel when he was praying and the angel said, I already heard you the first day, but the prince of Persia withstood me. You can say that was this other guy and this, but I'm telling you, the devil, amen, is real and he's in this other realm. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if you want to be, amen, one of these patriots, my God, you're going to fight with him.
Right. Yeah.
Since we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yes.
You know, wrestling is. He used every muscle and trick. And
yes.
I used to wrestle a guy that was a wrestler. I didn't stand a chance. And I'd be, what's he doing? He'd be, it's kind of like playing chess, playing defense all the time. He's moving his head. Hey, watch, what's he doing? What's he doing? Next thing you know, he had me. That's the way it is wrestling with the devil. Straight in the spirit, you're fighting with him. I'll tell you what, that's exciting.
Right, right.
If you got the Holy Ghost. I believe a place like San Francisco probably got a big devil.
Yes.
That runs that mess. I know, I saw, they call them bridge jumpers. And then across the Golden Gate Bridge, they just put a camera on there. And every once in a while, a guy would walk by and they had these little indents in it. And he'd walk over there. I seen him. He walked over there and they focused on him. He just jumped. Committed suicide. I could see in the spirit how the devil, with his talons on a man's head and on his mind, are telling him, jump.
Right.
Go ahead and jump.
Right. Yes.
Go ahead and commit adultery. Go ahead and hate. Go ahead and kill. You wonder how these people can do what they do.
Right. Right. Yes.
It's because they're influenced by the power of the enemy. They may not be possessed with the devil, but they're being obsessed with him.
Yeah.
Amen. You go to Brazil, you want to see something? I know people that told me Brazil is full of witchcraft and full of all kinds of things. So if you want to be a missionary over there, Be prepared.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I could do all this stuff. I'm talking to me. When I started reading this, I said, my God, you got a few years left in your life. Why don't you become a prayer warrior?
Right.
Yes. Come on.
They're organized. They're organized. And I'll tell you something right now. The devil knows this church is here.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
He knows it.
Right.
He knows you're in here.
Right.
Yes. Kind of scary a little bit. He knows. He knows. He knows that there's a devil in Plant City.
Right.
He's some kind of prince, some kind of lower level administrative guy, whatever he is. But he's fighting tooth and nail. And he's fighting against people who like routine.
Right.
Remember, I'm saying in Acts 19:15, there was these brothers, the sons of Sceva.
Right.
They said something really stupid, Brother Hunt. They said, we adjure you. What is a adjure? Somebody from Harvard or something trying to cast out a devil.
Right.
We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches.
Yes.
Here's what they said. Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? They knew it was bad. So they're running cut and naked. I can see their mom and their friends sitting on the front porch. And here comes the son of Stephen. And their mom says, isn't that your son running by here with no clothes on? Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But who are you? Paul was a revolutionary.
Right.
When I was a kid, we'd go to the post office now and then. And I was a kid, so here's the counter, and I was about this tall. And I remember they had a flip chart in there. And it was the FBI's 10 most wanted. And I remember my mom was doing business. I'd look at that thing, and I'd be scared to death. Them men, they must have got the mean. Look real mean up for this picture. Go ahead. And we all scared. I'm going to ask something that may be a little silly. Just thinking about Paul I know. If there were a post office in hell, would any of our pictures be up in there for the 10 most wanted?
Right.
You know, they could. Now, it wouldn't be all that great for him to know who you are or your family, but you know something? That meant that you was... Amen. A revolutionary.
Right.
Please lift your hands. I'll hurry on.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
There is a word in Hebrew.
Lord, we love
not
you.
Not that I'm a Hebrew scholar.
Oh, Lord.
And I'm probably going to mispronounce it. It's called Hineni or something like that. H-I-N-E-N-I. It simply means, here I am. It's the same word that Samuel used. When the Lord said, Samuel, he used that word in Hebrew. Amen. It also means, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I say, yes, Lord, before you ask, or I even know what you're going to ask. Amen. Isaiah 6:8 said, the Spirit said, who will I send? Who will I send? And Isaiah said, send me.
Lord,
amen. Send me. How about you? Send me. I'll go. I'll fight. I'm not satisfied with the status quo. I'm not satisfied with routine. I want to see something. I want to, amen, watch the salvation of the Lord. I got some other folks that said, I need whatever. I tried to look up. This is kind of humorous. I probably shouldn't even say this, but I spelled it wrong. And they talked about it's something you sit on. Not the same one. Amen. Obviously you knew that. Moses was 80 years old on the backside of the desert.
Right.
He had failed. He thought he jumped the gun and he was up and he was laying on the backside of the desert and watching sheep. Probably had a good gig there. He was eating right. He had three squares a day and he was doing good. He was married until the burning bush happened.
Yeah. Right.
He had a choice. His choice was I can run from this thing, or I can go over and see what it is.
Right.
He went over and looked at it, and it spoke to him.
Yes.
And you know what he said? Yes, Lord. Abraham, he told Abraham, leave everything you've got. Can you imagine that? Just pick up and go. Well, he said it to the apostles too.
Right.
And he said, you know, he may have had a pretty good deal going. He might have had a property and some house and as all his kids were around. I don't know. Well, he didn't have any kids. But he had family and things. The Lord told him, go. I want you to go to a place where you don't even know where you're headed. Who's builder and maker? It's not made by man, it's by God.
Right.
And he said, yes, I'll go. Noah, he said to Noah, he said, Noah, I see these people, and all they do is think about new ways of sinning, and it's dark. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he said, build me an ark. Noah said, yes. Esther, she was the queen. Evil Haman was going to kill all the Jews. And she had a choice to make. She had to go into the king and tell him. And she said, if I go in there and he's in a bad mood, he'll kill me.
Right.
So she said, I'll go. And if I perish, I'll perish. She said, yes. One more Gideon. Gideon's out hiding. And he's threshing his wheat, not because he's a coward, but because they keep stealing the wheat every time he gets a little bit. And he don't think very highly of himself, because the Lord says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor.
Yes.
Right. You talking to me?
Yeah.
Gideon. And Gideon, amen, must have been a great man. Gideon must have been one of these people that was a revolutionary. And he said, yes. Amen. Patriots are anything but routine.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. The conclusion of the matter is this. You don't have to move to be a patriot. You don't have to move to be a revolutionary. You don't have to get a little pull trailer and hit the road. There's a lot of those guys already out there. Unless God calls you to, you don't have to do that. You don't have to quit your job.
Right
here, where you are, you can be, amen, an earth mover. You can be a revolutionary. You can be a patriot. Everyone can pray like Cornelius prayed. Chapter 10 of Acts, Cornelius prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I found some lost scriptures. When he prayed, he was praying to try to find, amen, how to be saved. He was doing everything he could. So he prayed on the 569th time. And the Lord said, send him down a vision. And then get a hold of Peter and tell him to go over there.
Right.
I made up the 569th business. But he prayed and he prayed and he prayed until God answered his prayer. Amen. So that he, amen, could be enlightened with the salvation of the Lord.
Yes, right.
Anybody can pray like Cornelius if we really want to. Anybody can pray like Elijah. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain. He prayed and it didn't rain. Amen. He stood before the prophets of Baal and slaughtered them.
Right.
Amen. Slaughtered them. Everyone can get out of the foxhole if they want. All of us. Every one of us.
Right.
You say, well, this living for God's okay. And sometimes I see people that are struggling. I feel bad for them. I maybe shake their hand and pat them on the back and say, man, I care about you. But somebody will someday, not saying there isn't some already in here, will step up and go and fight the enemy in the other realm.
Yes.
Can you lift your hands one more time?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Anybody can get out of the foxhole and run toward the sound of the guns. Anyone can intercede for the folks that need a touch from God. Amen. You can say to the devil, take your hands off of them. I rebuke you, Satan, and have power and authority if we want to. But my question is, will we ask to be put in that place?
Yes.
Right. Oh, you might think, well, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to be perfect. No, I'm talking, Lord, use me.
Yes.
What's that song go? Jesus, use me.
Oh, Lord.
Don't refuse me.
Surely.
There's a work that I can do. Even if it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. I forget the rest.
The cost be great,
that's right. Everybody can do that.
Right.
Yes. We don't have to live with, boy, they had this problem for 6 years. I guess they'll have it till the day they go. It doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
If we will step up to the plate,
right,
anybody and everybody can intercede. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what kind of excitement might happen. I know a man, well, he's been here, Ron Rouse, Brother Ron Rouse, Pastor Ron Rouse. There was a time when he was young and he was with this man that's now a pastor, and it was 1 a.m. and they were fellowshipping, playing guitars and laughing, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and told him, you need to go to your dad's house. His dad wasn't living for God. So he told this man, I got to go to my dad's house. He said, it's 1 o'clock. He goes, I don't know why, but I got to go. So he goes there and he knocks on the door. Nobody answers. He knocks on the door. He knocks on the door. He turns the door handle and it opens. And his dad runs up the stairs. And he looked and there was a gun laying on the little table inside the door. He was going to kill himself. But he was sensitive. That's the excitement that you can have if you ask the Lord to use you.
Yeah.
There was another man named Johnny Daniels. I don't know if you know him. He's from Jacks Creek, Tennessee. And Johnny Daniels was knocking on doors, people's doors. He's passed away now. And inviting them to church, he knocked on this door. And I don't know if you've ever, I've knocked on them. And when they don't first answer, you want to get out of there. Because I've knocked and they've yelled at me and they've told me to shut the door on your face. I've had them tell me, turn around and go back to the same way you came. So he knocked on the door and nobody answered. And he's getting ready to go. And the Lord said, knock again. Then, so he knocked again. Nothing happened. So he went to turn around. The Lord said, knock again. Knock harder. So he knocked and he knocked harder. And he knocked again. And finally the door opened. Come to find out, the man said, you know what? I was getting ready to commit suicide and you knocked on the door. And I was waiting for you to go away, but you kept knocking. And I was hoping you'd go away and you kept knocking. So he was persistent and saved, was used to save the man's life. Amen. Could you lift your hands? Could you stand? I'm asking me, and I'm asking you. Let's petition the Lord. What can I do above the routine? Ask the Lord, what can I do in service for the kingdom of God? When you've done all the stand therefore. God will give you the ability and the strength for it. God will give you the inspiration. God will open the doors. God will make the difference. God will do exploits. God will hear you when you call. Because a lot of folks are just happy with the routine. God will grant you your desire. I just ask you, if you lift your hands, close your eyes, and just pray. Are you willing? Are you ready to make a commitment? a little more. Amen. I'm telling you, the excitement, amen, can be overwhelming. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray.